So what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive Chuck Locklear.
And we continue to be Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Doing our best.
Coming at you 3 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. And today, we've got a treat for you, a very special guest.
Oh, that's me, huh, fellas? Yeah, I like how you guys were just kind of teeing me up there to say my name as well. Joe Morgan of Sporting News. I appreciate you guys having me on. Obviously, been covering the Clippers for a couple of years and missing basketball, missing my boys here. So it's great to be on.
Yeah, great to have everybody on one screen. You know, yeah, it's not the same as in one room, but we're making the most of it. We got a heck of a show lined up for you listeners today. We're going to kick things off with some Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much to everyone who sent those questions in ahead of time. Mm-hmm. If you'd ever like a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead and hit up at Locked On Clips. We're not even roping you into just Tuesdays anymore.
Basically, yeah, just send your questions.
Any time of the week. If we don't get back to you, but we like the question, probably means it's going to end up on the show, so make sure to listen.
Yeah.
But there's some great stuff in there. And then it's Trez week on Clippers Twitter. So we're going to talk about our thoughts on his play so far this season. He pretty much made all the improvements I had hoped he was going to make from last summer. So we'll be talking about that. And then in shavings, oh, man, we got to talk to Spencer Dinwiddie GoFundMe situation.
The Witty Bucks. Didn't the bottom fell out of the Witty Buck market.
And then we have a slight correction on yesterday, the podcast the day before. We talked about the Clippers facilities not opening. And minutes after we recorded the podcast, they said they were going to go ahead and open those up the next day.
Couldn't have been worse timing. Wrapped up the last mic cord, got the alert that Greif tweeted they were opening up. But that's what happens.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so Joe, thank you for joining us on this Twitter Tuesday. I mean, today we're recording this is Tuesday, of course. At JF4Draws has a simple question that kind of has a bit of an existential dread seasoning to it. What if this season turns into a what if for the Clippers?
Yeah, I don't really know how to respond to this one, though I do appreciate
it's terrifying.
The question. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a what if for everybody. So we're kind of just sitting here with no idea what to do. So I understand where he's coming from. I personally, the entire time, have thought that it would be a one if. I'll be honest with you. Since the very beginning, I didn't think there'd be an NBA season. I'm starting to now turn in the last 2 days. Positive Joe is back.
Yes.
You guys know this. He doesn't come around often.
Truly never.
But you've never seen it. Actually, this is the first time. I'm starting to feel better about it. If it turns into a what if, it will. I think we will look back on this year as one of the wildest years we've had as a society. And what I can't put a 100 years. 100, I don't know how we can even categorize this year. So if it turns into a what if, we will forget about basketball and we will talk about everything else that happened, and then we'll move on to next year. And guess what? The Clippers still have Kawhi and Paul George. I wouldn't be that freaked out about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree. It's definitely a what if for everybody. We're not alone in this. I think if this season doesn't end up resuming, the Clippers maybe aren't even the biggest what if. I think that this season would probably just be remembered, honestly, as like probably the Kobe year.
I think the Bucks are the biggest what if next to the Clippers.
Totally.
The Bucks they were having their best season in franchise history. They didn't lose two games in a row all year. One thing that bums me out about the Clippers what ifs is I've already seen a couple people be like, man, I bet that Paul George trade hurts more now with the pandemic. And I'm like, yeah, it does. What? that wasn't part of the picks.
Right. They didn't think that one coming.
Yeah, we didn't dial this into the 1-1 contract ideas. Like,
I guess the other what if too is like, how much more difficult does the Western Conference get next season when the Warriors come back fully healthy with a pick?
Yeah, Danny H has some weird. He's mentioned the Warriors and the Nets being fully loaded, which pose so less of a threat to me than maybe like six or seven other teams in the league. In terms of the in terms of the Clippers championship hopes, like I do not care about the Nets in terms of the Clippers championship hopes.
100%. And look, the Warriors thing makes sense to me. Okay. But then you also have to look at what happens with the other teams, right? So right now, the greatest threat to the Clippers, if we do have a playoffs, is the Lakers. I mean,
That's the only real one.
You're trying to tell me that another year on LeBron's legs is going to make him better or equal to what he was this year? I don't agree with that at all. I would say that he has to take a step back eventually, though he's God. I mean, maybe he goes up another level. But, right, yes, the Warriors would be better, but it's still Steph, Clay, who are coming off of injuries. The pick thing
Draymond's
doesn't
gonna be
really
mad.
Give me that. Draymond, well, yes, I mean, that's not anything out of the normal.
Well, yeah.
But
mad plus.
And what's that pick? I don't know what that pick means. It's not like an unbelievable class where there's somebody who you know is going to immediately come in and dominate. So I don't know if it really makes that difference from this year or next year, because I think there's barriers for both seasons.
Definitely. Yeah, I think the Lakers, the only thing that makes the Lakers scarier is if they're able to pick up the surrounding talent somehow in the offseason.
I was going
to
say, because the cap, they have so many. How many of their guys are on one-year contract?
Right.
Seven, so eight?
Yeah.
So the cap is lower, and, like, the market is skewed to a point that it's never been skewed before. Like, you look at Anthony Davis. Like, he's signing such a smaller contract than he was going to sign. Like, they have to refill somehow, because, like, the Hornets have a bunch of cap space, and they'll overpay bad players. They're the Hornets.
Yep.
Like, there's teams that can, like, there are bad teams that can screw over the Lakers kind of rebuild, I guess, for lack of a better word, around their contracts right now.
Well, the way that I look at it the Lakers thing is more for me LeBron and the wear and tear on the legs. Like, do I think the Lakers could probably figure out how to put some different pieces around LeBron James that would actually probably improve that team? Yeah, I think they can, because that roster, though it's obviously was fantastic throughout the season, has never impressed me. It's not one of these rosters where I'm like, whoa, hello, you know, Danny Green's out there, nobody can beat him. But Danny Green's a good player, but that's not something I get fired up about. Yeah. I think they could improve it, but it's more the fact that LeBron James is having an MVP season, which, I mean, you could argue that all day, that he could be the MVP or Giannis is. I'm fine with either of them. I don't see him being able to run that back in his 18th year, correct? So I think that
That made me feel
it's
old.
It's crazy.
God,
right?
Damn it.
That NJ doc made me feel old.
It's like that like, that hurt my heart.
It's rough. You guys both look really good, by the way, so it's okay.
Oh, appreciate it. I'm doing my best in quarantine.
Right back at you.
I'm growing a horrible mustache, and two of my friends who just, like, never really grow face, like, they were just kind of doing their thing, they just, like, shaved their beards randomly, and then I had been growing a mustache for, like, 2 months. In a day, my two friends just had a better mustache than I can maybe ever hope to have. So I'm getting there. We got a couple more questions. Black Cactus Jack, up there with Black Sub-Zero for my favorite Twitter handle that we've seen so far. He asks, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment, if Trez walks in free agency, do you think Ibaka would be a better fit coming off the bench, especially on the defensive side?
Not at all.
Or no, from my end, if I'm being totally honest.
I think we're all in agreement here.
Yeah, Ibaka, like, he's old.
I like Ibaka.
I do, too.
I do, too, and I like that he could stretch the floor a little bit. He doesn't quite have the pep in his step at this point in his career that Trez provides. I don't really see him fitting into the pick and roll quite as well.
No, he has no pep in his step. You just said it. Like, that's the knock on Ibaka these years.
And I don't, like, look, I mean, this isn't the Ibaka that is, like, the defensive player that we think that he is.
There's,
I mean,
rose-colored glasses with Ibaka, I feel like, because he doesn't get a lot of press. Not that he should. I don't mean that in a rude way, but, like,
the fits are bigger than his game at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, like, if you're us, or, like, specifically me, and all you really watch is Clippers basketball, all you see of Ibaka kind of historically is his highlights and him playing well and, like, in these key moments. But current Ibaka is nowhere near what Trez is on either end, I would even say.
See, I would disagree with that.
Oh, so, I don't know, man.
I'll play devil's advocate a little bit here, right? So defensively, Ibaka is not what he was 6-7 years ago, right? Where he was in OKC, I think he averaged over half three a blocks decade. A game.
Yeah.
Right? It's been a while. I agree, right? Trez defensively is not my favorite guy in the world. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a great defender at the rim.
He and is also, actually. So, he's top five and he's top eight in percentage from
if you want to look at stats, fine. Throw him out all day. I watch the damn games. I disagree.
I watch him with you too, and I say the same thing. But I know what you're saying.
I will. The devil's advocate part that I will play here is there are certain teams that do need that. The guy who's willing to do some other things as opposed to getting his points. And the one thing about Trez that sometimes does concern me a little bit is that I think he's now entered that point of his career where he's at the prime of his career, and he does expect the ball in certain moments. When you have Kawhi and we have
rightfully
PG,
so.
Which is fine, right? I'm not saying he's incorrect in those feelings and those thoughts, but sometimes you are able to insert a guy who knows his role, which is what Serge would be, and that might be able to elevate your team. Look, I think you and I we're all on the same page here. I'd rather have Trez, but I don't think it's as like absurd as a thought as we're making it seem. I think there could be some Serge Ibaka, like there could be a benefit of having him on that team as opposed to Trez, but I'll take Trez.
What's his
resurgence, if you will?
Oh, God.
I like that.
The quarantine's getting everybody. Yeah. What's Serge's contract? Is he a free agent after this year?
I can look it up.
Yeah, him and Gasol are, I believe, for Toronto.
If we could somehow retain Trez and then maybe jettison some of the lesser contracts and sign Ibaka, that would, for me, put the Clippers in an absurdly well-positioned spot for next year's championship.
He's a free agent in 2020, so yeah.
Yeah, like he might be on some. He might be on a.
He's getting paid $23 million this year, though.
So. Yeah, so he doesn't. He doesn't need. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't. I don't know.
You're entering that realm of kind of veteran money.
He's made his money. He has a chip. Like, why would he not come to the Clippers to play with Kawhi again and then be the third? He could be our new Joe Kim, maybe. The last question for this first segment, Chenny John. Frequent question submitter and listener also said what's up to us at a game one time. That was a good time.
Shout out to John.
He wonders what recipe Terrence Mann should make next. He also added that the jerk chicken looked wonderful.
I think I'll Terrence let you Mann, boys take this one.
No, you haven't been watching Terrence Mann, Man versus Food series?
Not on a daily basis, unfortunately.
Well, if only they I'm came out on a daily basis.
I'm actually woefully behind, too.
My thing with Terrence Mann is I truly, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, I would rather just have workout vids once a week.
That's fair.
I don't care about the food. I just don't. Like.
I think game first, content second, maybe.
Yeah.
Is the strategy he should be going.
Maybe Terrence Mann versus off-ball defense.
Well, not to mention, like, there's nothing that will drive me crazier than a person who's not a professional. And Terrence, this is very nice of you. We're glad you're pushing the content.
You could have studied in a kitchen.
Nothing drives me crazier than somebody taking photos of them making a meal. I make a lot of meals.
You're taking videos. You're
putting it on video.
I make a lot
taking
of meals.
Videos.
You know, I'm making meatballs tonight. I'm not going to live stream it.
Wait, did you buy ground beef or did you buy meatballs?
Oh, man.
No. No, this is Italian. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
Now I'm hoping Terrence Mann makes meatballs, and it's a Man v. Joe show.
Oh, I hope it is. Oh, a man
if Terrence wants
Morgan,
to fire that up, ooh. I'll take him down.
I
use fresh breadcrumbs.
We're going to get a Man versus Morgan food situation going on. that does it for Twitter Tuesdays. Coming up after this, we're talking some Trez week, just how we feel about his play, what his contract might be. But first, Will... You like eating food as much as the next person, I think, for the most part.
I do, but you know, it just, as Joe said, it takes so long to cook, takes so long to clean.
Why does food take so long to cook?
I've been speeding the process up. I eat a Built Bar for one meal a day.
That's
it's
smart.
Really easy. The cook time is how long it takes you to unwrap a wrapper, which, you know, can
what be, is it for you?
Can vary. I've got it down pretty quick now. It's almost like just splitting a banana.
Yeah, same. I don't take a minute and a half to open my Built Bar packages.
But Built Bars are tasty. It's a protein bar. Tastes like a candy bar. They got 16 amazing flavors, and they're covered in 100% chocolate. Plus, They're soft and easy to chew. Who doesn't appreciate something that's easy to chew?
Oh, everybody does, I think. I have a bunch of fake teeth. I need it.
Built bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy. You know, Joe, maybe you should check them out.
No, yeah, Joe needs some health in his life.
No, you're a fitness freak.
Yeah. No, yeah, a bit of a nut. I could use a little protein in my diet. I appreciate you guys throwing this out there.
You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And if you go to builtbar.com right now and use promo code locked on, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code locked on for $10 off your first order at builtbar.com. Built by Built Bar.
All right, welcome to Trez Week Talk. We've all fueled up on 19 Built Bars at each. I'm full of 247 grams of protein. Just lifted up a car. I was wearing gloves, so we're all good. So we're talking Trez Week. And Joe, for how much time we all three collectively spend together, be it beers after the game at Chick Hearn, which I will say is something I miss more than anything in the world right now, what are your thoughts on Trez this season specifically? I think he left it up to, as someone who was playing for the best contract possible, if the cap would have stayed the same, he put the best version of himself on the table.
I agree. But, all right, fine. I got a few thoughts on this. Look, like,
what do you think about Trez?
I thought Trez was great. Like, I'm everything about Montrezl Harrell I enjoy and I love, because, like, I love the guys that basically nobody thought they could be what they are today, and they continually, like, in their mind, like, I have to keep proving this day in and day out to make sure I stay at the top of my game. You know, he's got career highs in multiple categories. He's a guy that I think really kind of, at least last year, dictated the way that locker room was, him and Pat Beverly. Yeah. I used to love them, right?
Teammates,
and that kind of energy.
He does something that my girlfriend calls it, when you can tell when Trez is having a bad day, because he makes the air angry.
That's great.
You know what
that's
I mean?
That's a brilliant way of putting it.
Shout out to Hannah Canigator for that. He makes the air angry.
Like, Hannah knows what she's talking about.
Or happy. It goes both ways.
So that's the other part of it that I kind of wanted to dive into.
Okay.
There is a sense, and look, obviously our good friend Jovan wrote about this, went to his absolute negativity.
Jovan went to
the fire. Joe Morgan.
He went to the firing squad. You could have stopped that. You could have grabbed JR Athletics' pen.
I think I pushed him forward, if I remember correctly.
I was going to say, you were like, maybe at this quarter.
I don't disagree with him. So, like, there is something to be said about a player that is moody the word? I think it is. And I think that when you come in, I think moody is the word. I think I'm a moody guy. You guys have seen me on bad days.
I get it.
I can mess that whole place up. So, like,
absolutely.
He's a great player. However, with that being said, I do think that in a locker room with Kawhi and Paul George, who are now leading the charge, I sensed something this year with Trez that I didn't sense the year before. I can't really put my finger on it, but there was something there. And I don't know. I don't think he's worth $20 million. I wouldn't pay him $20 million. If I was the Clippers, if I was another team, I would have trouble if I'm the Clippers paying him $20 million. And I think that's what, before all this happened, if you want to go salary cap, whatever, but this happened, he was a $20 million guy.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was looking at the Sabonis contract, like the 4 for $80 million.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty apt. I mean, his usage might even be higher than Sabonis's on that Pacers team. Yeah, I agree with Joe.
The change is real.
My only knock on his change this season is, like, the way that he approaches the media is completely different. And I know that maybe that's arbitrary for some fans, but, like, if he's acting that way to the media, how do you think he's acting around his teammates and stuff like that? Like, my thing is that it carries over. I don't think there's one without the other.
Yeah, there's a way to it, 100%.
And I, you know, like, while part of me wants to commend him for, you know, we talk about the Nooner all the time, Joe, that terrible back-to-back Nooner where we lost to the Grizzlies and then beat the Knicks, and Trez made those
barely
comments.
Barely beat the Knicks.
and like,
we made Paul George come back for that win.
And I think for last year's team, I think that Trez's comments and that whole thing, that would have been great. Like, I think it would have fired everybody up. I think this year, on this year's team, a little bit, I don't want to say, like, I just want to say read the room, I guess. Like, yep. You know, if you got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in the room, maybe read the room a little bit.
Well, we talk about, like, we, like, as people who are in the locker room, talk about this triumvirate of the locker room, which is Trez, Lou, Bev.
Yeah, totally. And they are the most vocal leaders, for sure.
But I think Trez and Lou have a much heavier weight because they are veterans. Like, they are the O-est of G's of OGs in terms of the NBA, not even let alone the Clippers, if you look at the age and everything right there. But, like, I think Trez's demeanor, it definitely has changed. And it's changed to a point of someone who rightfully so thinks they should be making $20 million a year because a team will pay that. Like, his change in demeanor is, I will say, like, the first game of the season, I asked Trez a question. I was like, you know, how did you feel about coming out, you know, first game of the season, playing hard? And he was like, we play hard every day. Like, everyone will recognize that. I was like, man, that's not – what? Like, so you're taking offense to the first question? Like, the whole identity that we asked you about, which is totally fair, but you're worth the money, absolutely. But, like, you're not in that money yet, I guess, for what this team is.
I think we need to – look – I think the three of us are not, we're not disparaging him for who he is.
He's so valuable to this team.
He's a man. He's a man, right? But there is such thing as a contract year. Okay.
Absolutely.
And, like, the demeanor does change. He's not the first guy for this to happen. And look, we haven't been doing this for 30 years.
He might be the first guy for this to happen when a giant pandemic ruins his contract.
This is true.
But he didn't know that before he changed the attitude. So.
Probably a little more ornery now.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine
the
Bev and Miriam interactions right now?
They got to be having a lot of fun. So, like, I get where he's coming from, but I guess this actually kind of jumps back into the Surge.
For sure, yeah.
Like, there are certain things that can, like a locker room is so unbelievably sensitive that any little thing can create issues within that locker room. And you can say what you want about our guy Jovan and what he wrote. It's not like he made that up, man.
He had sources, right?
So some of that, all those little small things do add up. And look, Trez is a guy that I've enjoyed covering the past couple of years, but I do think his attitude this year has affected that team in some way. And, you know, I love the way he plays. I just don't know if, because with that, and really some of his limitations, if I go out there and pay him $20 million a year, though I think he deserves the living hell out of that money. I just don't know if the Clippers are the one they're going to give it to him.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, other than this, the locker room questions, like, he has improved defensively. I know the eye test, it still isn't phenomenal, but it is an improvement. He's improved his free throw shooting, his finishing. His finishing this year has surprised.
Underrated. He's a top five finisher at the rim in the league. At any position, he is a top five finisher in the league.
He's great.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's crazy.
That's just the biggest question. And I think coming out of the Lob City stuff, I'm, like, especially sensitive to, like, the locker room chemistry or the deal with locker rooms, because, I mean, that's all that it takes to take a great team down.
And moving into playoff stuff, I had this question. So with the rest, which was one of the biggest things the Clippers needed as a team, that's happening right now, I really think the only way his minutes are going to get cut in the playoffs is if we play small ball at the five more. Because if we don't do that more, he will play the exact same regular season minutes, which we've all firsthand seen are a borderline irresponsible amount of minutes to play one person at every single game. Like, that might not change, which I think because one of the themes with people not thinking the Clippers are going to retain Trez is how many minutes he's gotten in the rooms. It's kind of like run him down type thing, but I'm not sure. I think he might just be in this role where the Clippers are like, no, you're the 30 minute off the bench guy, and that's what we're going to play.
I think Doc also loves Trez.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's the way that is. Look, man, I mean, we're all human beings here, and I do think you get affected by that kind of stuff. Doc loves Trez. He loves the way he plays. I would say his minutes go up slightly.
In the playoffs?
It ain't going down.
You think Zoo's getting the five-minute ceremonial start?
I think Zoo's getting thank you for the start. And I guess we'll see in a couple days.
Go ahead and put that sweater on.
Depends on the matchup. But I agree. True. I think depending on the matchup, because that last Rockets game where we slapped him, Zoo was phenomenal.
Yeah, Martin, played, no more Capella, yeah.
Yeah, he played more minutes than Doc normally plays him. And he was perfect from the floor. So I think in given some matchups, maybe we could see a little bit more Zoo. But yeah, overall, I mean, I think that his minutes would probably go up if anything.
I'm so happy he's getting this rest. It is because he's not a starter. I think his minute load kind of gets like thrown under the bus in terms of absurd things about this NBA season. But the minute log that he was playing plus 20 minute in a row stretches. Games in a row, like on back-to-backs, the Memphis New York back-to-back, he played like 27 plus minutes in each game for both of those back-to-back.
Yeah,
like he's on a historic minutes load.
Can I throw something in here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, has your guys' opinion of minutes played and load management changed at all from this Jordan doc? Because mine sure as hell has. We're talking about 20 plus minutes here for Trez playing in a row. I got Jordan over here playing 43 for 82 game season. What the heck's going on here? What are we talking about?
Competition is harder different. Now.
It's 2020. Oh, what do you want to do? Times 10.
You guys are killing me.
Oh, competition is – you can't deny
People used to drive stick shifts. We should all drive stick shifts. What do you want me to do? Cole was big back in the day.
I think you guys are nuts. I have no problem with the minutes. He's young. If he's out there running around. No. He's trying to prove a contract.
No, it makes sense. Minutes, but like for Kawhi, he needs it.
Fine. I think the stretches is for me where it gets a little bit troublesome.
Yeah, break them up.
Minutes.
Give him break.
Yeah, just consecutive minutes. I think
give him a possession. Like give him one possession.
He's young. He's young enough. Yeah, we're like I mean, he's easily good for 32 minutes a game, 36 minutes a game.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to see it in 38 of 24 straight minutes at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's times in the third when, like, if we're up 15, just put Zoo in for 4 minutes. And worst case scenario, we're only up 12. Like, it's
fair.
Fine. Last question of this – or last part of this Trez segment. Can he only hurt his stock when the season comes back? He left it, like we said, as good as he could have. Like before this stopped, can he only hurt it? Because the microscope will be, if it goes straight back to playoffs, the microscope, we all know how horrible social media is with sports and how it affects people's viewpoints of how players play. Like, if he has somehow a playoffs that isn't as amazing as his regular season, could that potentially hurt his stock?
The wording of this question is interesting. Can he only? No, I disagree, because you can suddenly go into a playoff series and go off, and now things are you look better in every, like Charlotte, right? He goes off, and let's say that he has a wonderful playoffs. So he's like, wow, I got to have that guy. That's a guy. Jordan says that's a guy I have to have. A North Carolina dude, by the way. So no, I don't agree with that. I think, even last year during the Golden State series, and look, I'd have to go take a look at the numbers, and I haven't in a while because we've been in quarantine for 2 months. But I was at
those games. Seems like the opposite reason why you shouldn't be looking at the numbers.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. I should be looking at all stats. There were moments during that playoff series that, to me, I was always like, man, like, this dude has a chance to take another step, right? Like, if you watch a guy live on a continual basis, especially in pressure situations,
yeah,
and he plays well, it honestly can really change the way you look at a guy. Lou was the same way. There were times last year where Lou kind of drove me a little nuts with some of the shot selection, and then we got into that Warrior series. I was like, you know, man, I don't care anymore.
The only reason we got there, too.
Yeah,
right. I think you could amp it up.
Trez was instrumental in winning that first Warriors game in Oracle. Like, he sealed it even with the like with the free throw shooting at the end. And throughout those playoffs, which granted it was only one round, I do understand that, but he averaged more points than he did all season.
Yeah.
We're talking phenomenally better shooting splits on more attempts. And playing 26 minutes a game. I don't think that his stock would go down in the playoffs unless, I just don't think that he has,
he can
get prominently exploited in a way that would decrease his value enough. And just looking at his numbers year over year, you know, there's improvements everywhere. So I think at this point, there's a large enough sample size that I don't think he's got to be too worried about getting the contract. The thing, I guess I would be worried about if I was him is just where it's coming from. And that's the decision. Like, do you stay with a contender or do you take the biggest contract?
Real quick, before we go into this last segment after this ad break, one word answer, whatever the new max is, do you think the Clippers gave it to him?
No.
I think they do. I think we're clinging to it. I think we have to make the splash, and I think that they maybe project that the cap goes up whenever, and I think they have to also.
If that's what it is. I could dive into this. I could go into this for another 20 minutes. I'm going to take a step back.
All right. coming up after this, we're going to be talking shavings. Spencer Dinwiddie's GoFundMe really did not work out very well. But first, we need to give a shout out to Blinkist, who's helping us bring you this podcast. Blinkist gives you unlimited access to listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. I know Joe Morgan specifically has a difficult time with just sitting down and trying to read a book. All the books you want for one low price, 50 minutes, you can listen to them. All the good points are condensed. This has prevented me from learning how to read, and I'll tell you what, I failed the eye test at the DMV, but I know a whole lot more than the person working there. Right now, for a limited time...
That's not fair. Blinkist, that's not fair.
I'm on Blinkist. Blinkist has a special offer for just our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your 7-day free trial. Plus that 25% off, Blinkist.com/NBA.
All right. So in one of the more spectacular nosedives since this entire thing has started, Spencer Dinwiddie's GoFundMe, if you're unfamiliar, he wanted to raise $25 million from fans who could then vote on
I think we should say, I think we should preface this saying, not by fans, regular citizens. Fans, regular citizens of the United States, he was soliciting $25 million from,
yeah, despite in Bitcoin, you know, despite all like almost directly knowing 30 billionaires, he thought maybe he'd ask the common folks.
Surely could have asked his owner.
He'd ask the common folks if they could pitch in a collective $25 million to decide where Spencer Dinwiddie would play,
because he would have had his pick of the litter, of course.
Yes. Which this whole thing was ridiculous to me from the beginning, just because, like, okay, so let's say the fans say, yeah, go to the Clippers, and the Larry Frank is like, yeah, no thanks.
Oh.
We're good.
Yeah.
See you later, Spence.
Then the fans are like, ha-ha.
But they fell, he fell short of that goal of, once again, $25 million with a whopping 1,150.
He got less than unemployment. He earned less than unemployment in the time that this GoFundMe happened. Why did he choose such a high sum of money?
Dumb number.
It's so much money.
Dumb number.
I mean, it's the number for like a max, for like a near max kind of deal.
You believe in yourself. So, like, how much money do you think LeBron could raise if he did this idea?
He would, I don't know if he could
raise $25 million.
He could not raise 25 million. We talked about this completely. We talked about this before the podcast. If regular people, if it's truly just worldwide citizens who you're getting your discounts off of, when the Hurricanes hit Houston, J.J. Watt had financial partnerships to match donations and a bunch of huge, like, he had a lot of moving parts. He raised $37 million, which is only $12 million more than Spencer Dinwiddie was asking without these corporate, like, it's impossible.
A lot of dumb people out there, man. There's a lot of ridiculously not dumb people who will just throw their money at anything.
But not, they don't have that much money.
Apparently not with this, with $1,150.
Because, like, he doesn't even have that big of a following. Like if Boban asked for $25 million, he would get so much closer.
So what's the incentive to invest? Do you guys know this? With
the Bitcoin. It's somehow tied with Bitcoin.
You get to choose where he goes.
That's the incentive?
Yeah. So yeah. He's hoping there's at least, let's call it, 12.5 million Spencer Dinwiddie fans who want to give $2 each. Less than that, evidently.
Yeah. it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I will say this, okay? In a country and in a world where we love our entrepreneurs, okay? We love our entrepreneurs. We've suddenly decided that this was not the right thing. This was just the dumbest thing of all time. Maybe,
the shoe thing was great. Out? But the shoe thing, so like Spencer Dinwiddie's shoe thing is awesome. He made his own shoe.
Yeah.
It's cheap as hell. It's great. But like, for me, this is such a big swing. Like,
well, just for a point of comparison, what was the average contribution on the Bernie Sanders campaign? It was like $20 to $25. So if you're Spencer Dinwiddie, you're looking at that and saying, I can get a million people to do that. I can get a million people to give me $25.
And it's above absurd. Average guard is the same as Bernie Sanders.
We're going to have the same impact deciding where my team is versus an election.
I got to say, though, part of me kind of respects Spencer for going out on a limb.
No, he took a swing.
Yeah, give it a shot.
He took such a big swing, but it's like, maybe make the swing smaller. Maybe make it so you only play for a minimum contract. And not
the number is not correct.
He's already a millionaire, theoretically, based on contracts. I don't know what his personal finances are, obviously. But to the general public, you assume someone with a $1 million contract is probably a millionaire. So you're like, wait, like this is already a bigger come-up than your last contract. Maybe totaled, I think. But
I just think it's so tone-deaf, too, because, like, okay, so it's a time right now in the United States, and I don't want to get political, but it's the highest unemployment rate that has ever been in our entire lives.
Get your facts out of here.
And so once again, you're going to ask the people, a third of the country of which is unemployed, to give you money instead of the billionaires
that own
the teams.
With also basketball happening.
It's absurd. Yeah.
I don't even know if the league exists in a year. You know what I mean? It's like, how would you go out on a limb and do this now? I'm with
Smash cut to Spencer Dinwiddie buying the NBA with 4 Bitcoin because that's ends up what's happening. So really quick, the Clippers open their facilities. Does that make sense? Who's even going in? And then real quick, what's the thing you miss most from Staples?
I guess you guys said this before. You guys thought it was too early. I disagree. I think it's fine.
It's all voluntary,
individuals going in voluntarily and going to work out. Like, I would freaking kill for an open gym right now. And if you said, Joe, you get to go to an open gym by yourself, you have to clean your hands, everything's going to be taken care of. There's no way in hell I'm saying no to that. So I'm totally okay with it.
Joe's getting caught in a week and a half.
Yeah, you know, then we isolate for 2 weeks and move on with our lives.
An open gym is different than the Clippers practice facilities open on a limited basis. But I take your point.
Joe's hopping fences to go hoop by himself.
Yeah. Joe's like, get this dirt off these skate parks. I'm trying to shred. what is the thing, just for all of us, Joe, what's the thing you miss most from Staples?
Wow. You know, it's funny. I was having a conversation. Actually, I'll tell you guys a quick story. About 2 weeks ago, so that's about a month and a half into this quarantine, I was sitting on the couch. I have two roommates. One of my roommates decided to question some of my affiliations of my fandom since I was a kid. I lost it.
So you murdered your roommate.
Correct. She's gone.
Yeah.
I went off and like, I wouldn't, and my other roommate was sitting there. He's like, dude, I watched the whole thing. And like, she tried to get off the hook and you wouldn't let her off.
He pulled his phone out. He was like, this is for evidence. Like, I'm going to be deposed.
Like, I got to watch this crap. Right. I hammered it home. And then so I ended up apologizing because I'm a nice guy the next day. And I realized what it was. And it's the ability to have an argument and a conversation with people that I respect about basketball. Like, it kills me. When you walk into Staples Center, every single person there is edgy. And like, and not in like a bad way.
In a welcoming way, if that makes sense.
In a welcoming way, like, because we're all friends, right? And obviously I miss all you guys. But the ability have an argument... have an argument and like get that out and then at the end of it move on but still have the ability to just kind of rage at something is what I miss the most about Staples Center media and quite frankly all my friends that I made being down there. It's not an easy situation for any of us.
Yeah, educated debate has taken like a swing down. I find myself like, I find myself like, you know, when you're taking out the trash or whatever, there will be like people on the patio having a basketball discussion that like I have to hold myself from like from interjecting into this conversation because I'm so desperate to debate about it. But it's like, no, this is not the time nor the place.
I had a work call today, and it was nothing to do with basketball in any realm. And the guy just kind of talked to me about how he was bummed the NBA season to come back because he thought the Lakers were the favorite to win it. And I literally was like, I was ready to go. Like, I was just like, okay, well, what do you mean? Like, based on their roster construction. And then my boss was like, you were citing like fourth quarter, 3-point field goal percentages. Like, you need to maybe not. like our clients don't want to hear about analytics or more.
You're at this level where you're basically at that very point of snapping at every second of the day, but you welcome it.
But I don't want to go on Twitter. But none of us on Twitter.
No. That's a cesspool. I'm off. I'm done.
If there's no sports, Twitter doesn't exist to me. It's not real.
So I will say I miss the spirit of competition for Margaret, and I miss the chili dogs, which both of you have witnessed me. Wolf down a couple chili dogs.
Well put together.
And the chicken. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Joe, we're wrapping up. Thank you so much for being on this episode of Locked On Clips.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I think I mentioned this about 4 months ago.
Yeah, no, we heard it.
I'm glad it took 4 months to get here.
We've been pretty busy.
There's kind of been a lot going on.
We got a bunch of new employees. We're expanding very rapidly during the recession.
You guys are doing well.
But no,
where can these people find you?
You can find me at Joe Morgan Takes, TAKES. I like to spell that out, on Twitter. And then if you guys want to check me out, I'm on sportingnews.com. I do a lot of radio and stuff, so I'm around.
He's got a good voice for radio. Sometimes he uses it when he wants Doc to really pay attention to his question in the press conference. Friday's episode, we might have Dr. Tarchi back on, Carl Tart. We're going to be talking Love, Marry, Quarantine. And then truly we will report anything that happens between now and then in Clipperland. Joe Morgan, one more time, thank you so much for being on this pod. You can find us, Locked On Clips, on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Bloom Pods, Burn Pods, Pod Pods, iPods. It's some good stuff. I have been Positive Chuck Bachler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.